Hi, I was part of the 2011 Pride cohort, and the idea for this project was actually something that I had during that first summer session and worked on a grant proposal, which eventually did get funded. So I really have Pride to thank for a lot of the ideas and progress on this project. I also want to acknowledge my co-authors, Claire Allen, who's in the room in the back, who was a research assistant on the project. The project coordinator was Catalina Vaughn, and Victor Rodriguez was one of the another research assistant, and Nalini Negi was a collaborator that I actually met through another training program, a NIDA-funded training program, which was similar to Pride for junior faculty, Latino junior faculty. And so she became a collaborator on the project as well through that network. And I have no personal financial interest to disclose. So just to give you some background, this project is about Latino immigrant men and alcohol use, and we know that Latino immigrant men face many challenges when they come to the United States and adapting to the United States, and there are many stressors associated with language barriers, discrimination, and social isolation that can result in unhealthy coping behaviors such as alcohol use. We also know that Latino men have very limited access to culturally appropriate services to prevent and treat problems with alcohol use. So when I was first sort of getting into this research, I started looking for evidence-based interventions to prevent and reduce unhealthy drinking. And one that I identified was called screening and brief intervention. And it's an evidence-based intervention to reduce unhealthy alcohol use in primary care settings. So it's actually recommended by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force in primary care. And for those of you who are not in the alcohol world, screening just means taking a 3 to 10 item questionnaire that you might get, a normal patient questionnaire about your alcohol use, and if you screen above a certain level or you score above a certain level, you'll receive a brief conversation from your provider or somebody in the clinic about your alcohol use. And even that, a brief conversation ranging from 5 to 15 minutes has been shown to be very effective. And we know that there's not been a lot of studies that include Latino men, but those that have shown that it's effective in this population, and the Latinos that received brief intervention from Latino providers actually had better outcomes than those that weren't ethnically matched. So I identified screening and brief intervention as an intervention that might be suitable to be culturally adapted for the Latino day laborer population. And so I used Barrera and Castro's cultural adaptation process. There's a 5-step process. The first step is to gather information to identify sources of match or mismatch between the original intervention and your target population. And I did this by interviewing Latino day laborers themselves and also did interviews with social service providers working with Latino immigrant men. They were also providers in the areas of mental health and substance use. It sort of served as key informants, and then analyzed that data, and I'm going to share some of that today. That resulted in the preliminary adaptation design, which is Vida Pura, which I'll also present today. The third step is to pilot test that preliminary design, and I have some of the preliminary results from the pilot test that happened last year, and then steps 4 and 5 are to refine the intervention as needed and conduct a trial to determine its efficacy. So when some of the findings from that first step, that information gathering step, were around the patterns and context of alcohol use, and what I found was that unhealthy drinking was common in Latino day laborers. Drinking was related to and helped relieve some of the immigration-related stressors that they were facing, and that men really had limited knowledge about what constitutes unhealthy drinking and were unsure of how to change their behavior. And I have some representative quotes from the interviews. I will tell you why I drink, because I am far away from my family, I live on the streets and all of that, to give me courage. When we asked specifically about how to deliver an intervention or alcohol counseling to these men, they told us that they preferred to receive the information from trusted providers in Spanish. Well, the important thing is that we do need a kind of group or program, especially for us, because sometimes we do not attend programs in America for the same reason. We do not feel comfortable with others, or we may not understand. We cannot communicate. And then we asked about sort of administrative and community factors that might involve or might affect the implementation or of a culturally adapted intervention. And we found out that men did face many barriers to accessing health and social services. There were very few programs that provided culturally appropriate alcohol-related services in the area, and men were receptive to receiving brief intervention in community settings like day labor worker centers. We prefer to carry our pain than to heal because I can't. I have no money to do it. If, well, there is a place with programs where they start to increase your awareness and help you with all of these types of problems, well, it would help a lot. People are afraid that if they access any resources, if they're undocumented, they will be deported. That's the big thing here. If you access any public funding, you're going to be on a list. That was a quote from one of the providers. And so basically, from those qualitative interviews, we identified those themes that I just presented, and there, I put them here in this table into three categories, and these categories are actually also part of the Barrera and Castro model. So first, you're identifying characteristics of the group that you're adapting your intervention to. So there we found that unhealthy drinking was common, that it was related to immigration-related stressors, and that men had limited knowledge about what constituted unhealthy drinking, which suggested that brief intervention actually would be a good match, but that it needed to be offered with culturally relevant strategies for actually reducing their drinking. And so our adaption was that the format and content of that brief intervention really needed to incorporate the social and cultural context of the men. In terms of the intervention delivery, we learned that men prefer to receive information from trusted providers in Spanish. So if brief intervention is provided by healthcare providers, for example, in primary care, that cannot speak the language or don't have that awareness of culture, they might be less effective. So that was a mismatch. And we decided the cultural adaptation was to have the brief intervention delivered by promotores in Spanish. And in terms of administrative and community factors, we learned that there was very few resources available for these men, but that they were receptive to receiving it in community settings. And so we know that brief intervention provided in healthcare settings is really unlikely to reach these men, and that brief intervention also needs to provide referral to truly accessible services. So part of the part of brief intervention is actually a referral to treatment if that's what the person is interested in and if they are experiencing symptoms of dependence. And so we were very concerned that we wanted to have somewhere to actually refer these men to. And so we were lucky that there was a screening and brief intervention program already happening in a local community health center that was funded by SAMHSA and that agreed to sort of take the warm handoff to any men we identified in the day labor worker center. So the adaptations, sorry I'm getting ahead of myself, were to have the screening and brief intervention conducted at the day labor worker center, and then we were assured in knowing that we actually had low-cost services in Spanish to refer them to if they were interested in that. And so basically the intervention that we created, Vida Pura, retained core elements of what brief intervention, the evidence-based brief interventions, which is providing personalized feedback about their drinking behavior and how it compares to the NIAAA guidelines, using motivational interviewing, which is a very warm, empathic approach to health counseling that assesses readiness to change, discuss the pros and cons of drinking, elicit any desired changes, and support and encourage their behavior change. And then the final step is to negotiate a plan or goal and identify strategies and offer referral information if that's what the person wants. And then the adapted aspects are, again, the intervention delivery and content using the promotores, the setting, doing it in the day labor worker center, and then the referral to low-cost Spanish-speaking services. So this is just a handout that we used, kind of a visual aid and worksheet that the promotores, these are the two of the promotores in this study, Edgar and Victor, and this was a flyer we used at the Day Labor Worker Center that we piloted at Casa Latina. And so they used the audit pyramid. The audit was the screening tool that we used. We showed the men where on the pyramid they were, their score was. Their score was put in that yellow box, and we also showed them how many drinks they were reported drinking per week and how many drinks per day and how that compared to the NIAAA guidelines. And then sometimes the promotores would use this ruler down here to assess readiness to change as sort of a visual aid. And so when we did the pilot and feasibility testing, the promotores would make an announcement at the Day Labor Worker Center where the men would congregate to wait for employment opportunities. We approached, recruited, and consented and screened 104 men there. Those that had a score on the audit of a 6 or higher were offered the brief intervention, and we had 65 men that ended up screening at that level. And then we also did 2-week and 8-week follow-up. So we got about 40 men at the 2-week follow-up and 37 at the 8-week follow-up. And this just shows you a little bit about the population. They were men that had low levels of education. Most were working, but working in these sort of part-time temporary jobs. And about a third were homeless. Half of them were homeless. This is just the population that screened into the brief intervention. And most were monolingual Spanish or primarily Spanish-speaking. And so here we just, I'm showing you the pyramid once again. And so the yellow arrow indicates the cut point for those that received the intervention. So this is the distribution of audit scores in the general population. So in the general population, 22% would meet that cut point for the intervention. In our population, as I mentioned, 62% of the day laborers actually met that criteria, so quite a bit higher. And then when we looked at the mean changes in that audit score, so they were starting at a pretty high level, almost a 19, which is clearly, you know, on the edge of borderline between abuse and dependence on this pyramid, but we did lower it to 13.5 at 2 weeks, and then went back up a little bit, but still quite a bit lower at almost 15 at 8 weeks. And then just to show you some other patterns of alcohol use that we observed, we also measured readiness to change, which actually went down at 8 weeks. We also measured alcohol consequences, which is the short inventory of problems, so alcohol-related consequences, which also went down. Because this was sort of a pilot and feasibility test, we, after a couple of weeks, we decided to start offering a more extensive alcohol measure at follow-up, the 14-day timeline follow-back, which is what we had used at baseline. So that's where the red line indicates that only 31% of the sample got these other measures, but it gave us a sort of fuller picture at follow-up about their drinking. So drinks per day went down from baseline to 8 weeks. Days drink in the past 14 days did not, but total drinks in the past 14 days went down quite a bit. And they were averaging, 8.5 drinks on a drinking day at baseline, which went down to 5.5 drinks. And the number of binge episodes also decreased. So just in terms of the limitations and lessons learned, this pilot and feasibility testing is definitely a work of progress, and it really helped to be able to be adaptable and flexible to the target population and community partners as we continue to both adapt and refine this intervention and the study procedures. Another lesson learned was that not everyone can do motivational interviewing. I'm happy to tell you more about motivational interviewing if you guys have questions, but it is a very nuanced health counseling approach, and so it requires a lot of training and ongoing training to maintain fidelity. Follow-up was obviously a challenge, and we weren't super happy about our follow-up rates in this study. And so what we learned is that we had to kind of completely change our plan for follow-up. We had tried to do follow-up with cell phones. That was not going to work at all. So having the promotores on-site was really the best strategy for tracking the men and finding them again at 2 and 8 weeks. And then, obviously, it's difficult to interpret the changes in alcohol use and consequences without a control group. But in terms of conclusions and next steps, we were able to adapt brief intervention to specifically address issues with Latino day laborers. And we did offer Vida Pura to a small sample of Latino day laborers that screened positive, and they were very happy to participate. We had no one refuse. Follow-up was moderate, and our results suggest that there may be some potential efficacy to decrease drinking. So obviously a larger randomized trial is needed, and luckily through the help and mentorship I received from the PRIDE program, I got an R34 funded to do a randomized trial, which is starting now.
So thank you for that. So a little bit of the motivational interviewing. So I think you said it, but so you trained the promotores.
I did. And these weren't actually promotores. I mean, that's the idea, but these were people that were more like RAs. You know, one was getting his MSW, and the other one was a bachelor's level. So they weren't actual, like, community health workers, you know, in the sense that they were bilingual, bicultural, Latino men. But even that was challenging. I mean, I ended up retaining the ones that were the best. So I started with probably like five that I trained, and then these were the two that I...
So I guess my question is more because I'm kind of skeptical in the MI kind of thing, sort of feel like sometimes it's the answer for a lot of this type of training. So what is your feeling in terms of, is it an alternative to trying to train the potential community health workers to sort of motivate people and help them
I think it really works well with alcohol use. So I think that for these men, they really need someone that will take the whole person into account. So I like that part of MI and that it meets them where they're at because they really need a harm reduction approach. Their life is so chaotic. They're not going to they're not going to go to inpatient treatment, right? We need like small steps. And so I feel like MI really fits with both the population and the health problem. If you would like to hear more about training promotores on MI, I have a presentation tomorrow about that, training them how to do it on mammography, and that was actually more of a struggle, more true promotores, and I'm not sure it's the best fit with that actual health outcome either. So.
Thank you.
One more question. Okay. Thank
you very much. This is exceptional.
Thank you. Reassure them about what, the confidentiality? Yes, yeah, so that's the belief. So in the qualitative part, many people, we did not ask about documentation, but many people disclosed it or hinted at it in those interviews. And then we did not ask about it in the pilot study. And, you know, I think just using really well-trained, great interview staff helps, and it's definitely been a community-based participatory research effort. So actually, I forgot to put on my last slide, which was my shout-out to my community partners, but the staff at Casa Latina especially have been really instrumental in us building trust with that community.
Yeah, if I may add to that, I think delivering care through community health centers is somewhat of a trustworthy agency rather than a university or an unknown entity. They have a good reputation. All right, well, that concludes our session. Let's give a round of applause.